Hey, what's up, everyone? How are you? Ben Kissel here. Thank you all so much for giving to our Patreon. Without you, none of this is possible. We love you very much. Hail yourselves. Okay, today I have a couple of Patreon listeners submitted creepypastas, so I could not be more excited. I have not read them yet, so we will read them for the first time together. The first one, it comes in from this fella. Now, his name is Mark Daniel Osborne. So, Mr. Osborne, first of all, I hope you're not a Spider-Man supervillain. Hello. Wow. I did just finish playing the Spider-Man video game, folks, and it is incredible. So, if you have a PS4, I think it's only on PS4. I'm not 100% certain, but just get one and then get that Spider-Man video game. It is a dope. Check it out. Okay, so thank you so much for giving to our Patreon, and thank you so much for submitting Mr. Osborne, Mark Daniel Osborne. And don't forget, email sidestoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. Submit your listener creepypastas there as well, and we're going to read some on Side Stories in, I think like 2 weeks or so. And so just make them short, make them creepy. And I cannot wait to read more. But thank you so much for submitting, Mark Daniel Osborne. Okay, so this is his story, and it is entitled Caroline. Okay, so here we go. Henrik Jones, stretched, half-waking, suddenly eyes wide in confusion and panic. That's how I wake up every morning. I can understand where this guy is coming from. The first time in his new abode. All right, first time sleeping in his new abode. Maybe a little panic while waking up. The panic of waking up in a sealed coffin. Scream rising from the depths, then dissolving with realization and relief. Deep breath and a long sigh. All right, kind of waking up like a cat. You know how cats, they got to spread their arms out and their legs out, and they deep breath and they say, "Oh, I'm still a cat." Okay, he sang, "Away in a manger, no crib for a bed," which I think that's a, "Away in a manger, no crib for a bed." He sang he sang that song to no one. The sofa was short, but at least I'm not weightless. That's according to him. He's like, well, at least I'm not weightless. I wonder why he would say that. He opened his eyes and sat up. No harness needed. The agency had decided that putting a centrifugal spin on their craft was cheaper than developing technologies to contain the effects of zero gravity nausea. Centrifugal. I love that word. It's a doozy. My tongue always gets, I say centrifugal? Centrifugal? It's really fun. Okay, nonetheless, so the agency has said, let's develop cheaper technology to contain the effects of zero gravity nausea. Methinks he's in space. To channel my inner Jar Jar Binks, methinks he's in space. It contained the vomiting. Less food liquid was required per person per day. Okay. Less waste. Oh, I see. It contained the vomiting, which means it limited the vomiting. Less food and liquid was required per person per day. Less waste disposal and clever air filter design was demanded. We have a demand here, folks. It also contained a blackmailing media. Interesting. No more bribes were necessary to hide the sordid, unromantic details of space travel from a fickle public. Well, that wouldn't be a cost now anyway, Henrik chuckled to himself. Okay, he's having fun alone, and who doesn't like to do that? The space program was a delicate balancing act of public opinion and government support. Sensing this, the press made away with a sizable slice of taxpayers' involuntary contributions to the space program. That was until Henrik Jones suggested to the agency that they should focus on developing technology that reduced the overall cost of space travel. Good suggestion, Mr. Jones. Impossibly, he had also improved the other side of the agency's accounting ledger. The agency was making sales. Television companies climbed over each other to host pay-per-view television events of space flights, and the public was paying in droves. The space program was liquid. They were making some money. They're in the money now. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. He hummed. He's humming now. That's how happy he is. And so the cattle are lowing. What does that mean? Bellowing. And then the baby wakes up. He hummed as he moved to his teak desk and sat in a comfortable leather chair. Irony heaped upon irony. Multiple ironies heaping upon irony. Isn't that incredible? Irony on top of irony. public opinion insisted the interior of the spacecraft looked as much as possible like a room in a normal house on Earth. The viewers wanted something familiar, not like the cells of the mission's past. There were no windows, though. The spinning stars would drive anyone mad, but that was a small price to pay for spinning the whole ship. A faux window frame was attached to one wall surrounding a lovely photographed poster of the stars, taken from Earth. How ironic is that? Talking about irony, irony on top of irony. We have a photograph of stars in a spaceship, and it's photographed from Earth. A clock on the desk read 1 hour and counted down. Time for his shot at fame. Okay, keep that in mind. A clock on the desk, 1 hour, going down. 59 minutes, 58 seconds, 59 minutes, 57 seconds. You get it. Time for his shot at fame. Time for his shot of the latest drug developed by the agency. The agency is evidently developing a lot of drugs here. So this dude opens up the desk drawer. He withdrew a syringe and injected himself with courage. But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. He's still humming that song. Okay, so he's still humming that song. Now, of course, we remember the baby Jesus was woken up by cows bellowing. Eventually, the viewers would tire of this shtick and demand new entertainment. But for now, serious space research was being funded. A rushing sound in his ears, like the sound of a long wave breaking along a shore, was accompanied by a relaxing numbness in his mind and well-being in his body. He sat and waited. Okay, so he injected himself with something that seems like it might be an opioid of some sort. He's now totally calm. His body is like, pretty chill. And so he's doing good. A red light came on above the desk. The show began. Millions tensed. Henrik stood up and walked to the fake window. He placed his hands on it and could hear a sizzling sound as smoke rose from around his fingers and palms. He unpeeled his hands, looked at them, and smiled. Turning around, he held his hands up to the camera. Oozing blisters waved across space to his captive audience. Walking to the other side of the room, he pressed his face to the wall and waited for a satisfying popping sound and half blindness. It did not take long. Facing the camera again, he danced a little. He sat on the sofa and kicked off his shoes. He stood and walked over to the desk, each step leaving a burning, smoking mark of flesh stuck to the frying pan floor. He slouched on the chair and passed out. Soon after, his skin began to blister and melt. The window poster ignited. His hair burst into flame. Oh, remember that? The Pepsi commercial Michael Jackson did. His hair burst into flame. The desk caught fire. Flames ate the room. The walls melted. And the last brief camera shot was of a huge, huge sun. And take us to heaven to live with thee there. His final word spoken. Very cool. All right, they watched him die. I guess that's a hot television show there. It took about an hour long. And, there it was. I don't know if he was ever in space or just a really hot room. There's a lot of questions. A lot of questions, but that makes for a good mystery. Thank you so much, Mark Osborne, for submitting that creepy pasta. Indeed, spooky spaghetti, to say the least. Learned a lot. Caroling. It's called caroling because he's singing the whole time. And I don't know if that's part of the show. I would love to hear what the people thought of it. Maybe he has a really good voice. I don't know. But nonetheless, millions of viewers watched this man die. So I guess he wanted to be a star, and perhaps it's a good parable when it comes to, oh, I want to be a star. Well, millions of people were going to watch me on TV. I'm going to be a star. But what if you're being watched? Well, you die. Interesting. Speaking of Michael Jackson, that's what Farrah Fawcett wanted to have happen. Farrah Fawcett, of course, she was dying of cancer, not good whatsoever. And obviously, we are my sympathies with anyone going through it or who've lost someone through it. But she wanted her death to be on camera. And then Michael Jackson died, and then she was no longer on the front page. So that was kind of a blooper. Anyway, all right, hail yourself, Mark. Thank you so much, buddy.
Live from your grave.
All right, one more creepypasta for you. This one comes in from listener Sean Amell. Thank you so much for being our Patreon subscriber. We appreciate it. Hail yourself, Sean. This one's called Porphyria Revisited. I believe I'm saying that right. Porphyria? I think I'm saying it right. Okay, by Sean Amell once again. Sean, hail yourself, buddy. Okay, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. I have not read this yet, so I'm excited to see where this tale takes us. All right, here we go, by Sean Amell. Also, full disclosure, Puffin is sitting on my lap right now. So, Puffin, I hope you don't get too scared.
I won't. I'm pretty strong.
Okay, Puff Bear, it should all be good then. Porphyria Revisited. Okay, here we go, folks. My God, how he missed her. It had been 4 days since the last time he had seen her, but it seemed like a decade. All right, he must really like her. What a fool he was for spurning her advances. He knew then and now what that look meant, that look she had given him when their eyes met at the restaurant. He knew now she wanted him. Oh, another love story taking place at Shoney's. I like it. And I love Shoney's. Also, Golden Corral, not that bad. Not that bad. I like the fountain sodas. You know, you get the, it's really nice, the fountain soda. You get all the refills you want there. Okay, so nonetheless, this guy's missing this gal. She's only been gone for 4 days, but it feels like a decade. But like a fool, like the cowardly, craven little fool that he was, he had backed away, retreated from her. He did not know how to tell her he was sorry for what he had done and was too scared to try. Instead, he had hidden himself away, left out the back door, and escaped into the night. He ditched her at a Shoney's. That's ridiculous. Well, more food for me. That's what I would say. Their relationship had been the defining thing in his life. It made him who he was. Too late, he had realized that. Very dramatic. He had walked away from her, left her to fend for herself with no explanation. He knew that she must still harbor resentment over this, and he longed to apologize. He simply did not know how. Apologies are very difficult to do, I understand, because you have to be vulnerable. And what if the person doesn't forgive you? Hard to do. I get where this guy is coming from. He would call her. That's what he would do. He would call her, and they would work things out. Easy as that. Oh, I don't know if it's going to be as easy as that, buddy. Give her a ring, work it out. Easy as that? Not sure. Excited, he picked up the phone and dialed her number. No answer. Damn, he thought. Damn, he thought. I wonder where she is. What's she up to? What's she wearing? What does she smell like? Is she with a boy? These are some of the thoughts that maybe he was thinking. I made all of that up, so that's not in the story. But nonetheless, maybe he's thinking that. I hope I haven't missed my chance, he says. He frantically began to think. I hope she's not out with some other man. Oh, turns out she was thinking that. At the thought of this, his blood ran cold and then white hot. He wouldn't allow it. He knew for a fact that she still loved him. Well, this is problematic territory, dude. She might not still love you after you left her at that Shoney's. He simply had to get her. He began to move around his apartment, searching for the right thing to wear. You know, a lot of people don't think that guys think about what they wear, but many men do, and sometimes that's just how we look even after we think about it. So that's just a testament to the male mind. So he's searching for the right thing to wear, maybe a bedazzled button-down, something like that. He wanted to impress her with his memory for things she liked, such as a particular sweater or a pair of pants. After much deliberation, he finally selected his outfit and headed out into the cold. It's cold outside. He would check for her at work first. Okay, this is a little stalkery. He would check for her at work first. She had been a cashier at the same place since he had met her. In fact, that was how they had met in the first place. Maybe he was buying some frozen goods, like some Tyson's chicken. Ooh, I love a good Tyson's chicken. He had looked at her as she was ringing up his groceries and instantly fell in love. And now it felt like she was slipping away. Love at the cash register. Okay. He wouldn't allow it. He would find her, fix this. He'd heard people say it before, and now he knew it to be true. Love, real love, only comes along once in a lifetime. And that's if you're lucky. Well, that's not always true, ladies and gentlemen. You can fall in love multiple times, I promise you. He knew he had been lucky to find her, and as the seconds went by, he became more affirmed to his quest to get her back. Arriving at her work, he searched the parking lot for her car. Again, little creepy. No sign of it. He decided to go inside and ask her coworkers. Again, little creepy. Scanning the crowded store, he spotted a clerk that he knew was a friend of hers. He picked up something at random and got in her line. "Sir, why are you buying all these tampons?" When he reached the front, he asked about her, but was told that she didn't want to see him. Okay. It struck him like a blow. His worst fears confirmed. She had found someone else. Someone that wouldn't walk away from her. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Destroyed, he walked out of the store, leaving his purchase behind and ignoring the calls reminding him of it. "Sir, you forgot your tampons." He sat down outside on a bench and fought to hold back the tears that threatened to overtake him. That last time he had seen her at the restaurant, she had given him that look. He had known for sure it had meant something. Perhaps he had waited too long to approach her. Perhaps she had seen him for the coward that he was. He looked up and was filled with a sudden strength of purpose. He knew what he must do. He would get her back. He would not abandon his love. He went back into the store and bought a dozen roses. Not sure if that's going to help, buddy. He was careful not to let the other clerk see him. He didn't want her ruining the surprise. Flowers in hand, he departed the store and began the long drive to her house. Again, slightly creepy. He believed now that she had been home, but simply didn't want to talk to him when he called. He couldn't accept this. He had to speak to her to show her the love that he had discovered. He had to share it with her. As he drove down her street, he turned off his headlights and parked a little ways past her yard. Again, we're talking slightly creepy here. Getting creepier. Sitting in the car for a moment, he gathered his courage as the first drops of rain from an approaching storm splattered across the windshield. As quietly as possible, he crossed her dark lawn. Very creepy. Bringing his flowers as he walked around the back of her house. Over the whistle of the wind, he could hear the television on in the other room, and her car was parked in the driveway. Thank God she was home. I don't know if it was good for her, but nonetheless, okay, he's getting into some pretty deep stalker territory here. As he approached her familiar back door, he stopped to look through the kitchen window. What a glorious sight he beheld there. She stood in her nightclothes, talking on the phone. Her hair was wet from the shower, and she was absently toying with it, wrapping it around her fingers. I like to do that too after a good shower. Transfixed, he stood there for a while watching her. A strange sensation spread through his belly. Fear and joy and anticipation all churned together. As she hung up the phone, he knew the time was right. He sounds a little bit like Richard Ramirez. He moved up to the back door quietly and opened it. As soon as he was inside, he must have made a sound, or perhaps it was the sudden intensity in the sound of the rain. But whatever the reason, she turned around. She said, "Oh my God, you cannot be here." She said, "You sick, crazy fuck. Why won't you just leave me alone?" She said, "Get away from me. I'm calling the police. Get out of my house." I would recommend getting out of the house. He looked at her as though he did not hear, and in truth, he did not, for he was suddenly overcome. He was on the threshold of real love, and he knew it. I don't know if that's true, buddy. He knew it that night when she had looked back through the kitchen doors at the restaurant he was working at. He worked at the Shoney's. When she had looked at him washing dishes and given him that knowledge, that sureness that she wanted him, he knew it now. He began to move towards her, and she began to scream, trying to get away from him. She must move fast, but his love made him strong. Also, he's a sociopath, too strong for her to win. In the end, he overtook her, and he held her tightly. Held her by the throat and watched as slowly she submitted to her love for him. I don't think that's true. A gradual change came over her until suddenly, with a loud crack, the wall of resistance she had built up against him crumbled and she grew limp into his arms. She was his now. I think she might be dead. That wave of emotion building cresting now crashed upon him. "Oh, my love," he cried, and held her tight. That light of defiance was gone from her eyes. Instead, he only saw devotion. He released her, and she fell limp onto the floor. She's overcome by her love for me, he thought. His joy was unmatched. He settled in beside her and took hold of her now cold hands. This is love, he thought. This is love. Well, in reality, that's murder. Okay. Interesting. Porphyria Revisited by Sean Amell. You know, I like dishwashers. Dishwashers are great people. They do a lot of hard work. I like janitors as well. But my goodness gracious, maybe don't make eye contact with them. They're busy making washing dishes anyway. Well, scary story indeed. A home invasion gone wrong. Well, wrong, but then when has a home invasion ever gone right, you know? All right, well, thank you so much for submitting. That was a creepy tale, to say the least. I'm going to say, I don't like the guy very much. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for giving to our Patreon. Without you, none of this is possible. I hope you enjoy these creepy pastas. And don't forget, email sidestoriesLPOTL@gmail.com, and we're going to read your creepypastas on an episode this month to celebrate Halloween and the witching season. All right, everyone, thank you so much for listening. Hail yourselves. We'll talk to you soon.